3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery, keeping things rolling in the 4 o'clock hour now with our regular visit with Alan Bell of Sportsline. He joins us via Skype, so he's right there. We can see his coffee house attire, and he's even wearing, is that a power tee in honor of Peyton Manning's birthday today?
It is Peyton Manning's birthday today, isn't it?
Yeah, man. Are you going to regale us with some Peyton Manning stories, maybe your favorite moment or game ever with Peyton Manning?
I mean, you know, I wish I could. I wish I could go down the list. I mean, you know, what that guy did was pretty incredible, you know? I mean, his streak against Alabama alone is legendary.
If you want some pure comedy, seriously, go. If you're a Tennessee fan, maybe you're not, but you appreciate slow people running fast, go to Vol Network's Instagram feed. They've been posting year by year, their decade of dominance, 1990 stuff. So you could start with 1990, and then there's another one that's 91, and so on and so forth. And you get to like 94 and 95 and stuff. Peyton Manning would like escape the pocket and run like 15 yard touchdown runs against people. Like, it happened multiple times. It's really crazy.
It's incredible. He's pulling out his Archie Manning there. It's weird to think how fast Archie Manning was, you know, as a quarterback. Then you see Peyton and Eli, you know.
Part of that, AB, and I'm old enough to remember, those Saints teams were so bad. Archie was running for his life, man. We can all run, but somebody's trying to kill us. And people were trying to kill Archie.
Well, now you've got Arch Manning coming up, and nobody can recruit him because they won't let anybody talk to him, like college-wise. So, and there are multiple people down there that have said that they think he's the best of the Mannings. So, we'll see.
No pressure.
Yeah, no pressure.
AB, Tom Brady, officially a Buccaneer. It turns out, by all accounts, basically he sent out terms, and two teams said, okay, here's our offer, and we'll take the terms. It was the Chargers and the Buccaneers, not the Titans, ultimately. They could have had him. They're riding with 17, though.
Yeah, they are, you know, and you know, like we discussed, you know, the Titans, if Tannehill is their guy, they're going to waste zero time, and they went out. As soon as that CBA was basically done, you know, they had Tannehill signed. So, you know, that goes to show that that was their guy. And yeah, you know, with Tom Brady, the Chargers and Bucks were really the only, you know, two teams, you know, that really, you know, truly went and offered him. We saw the money. It's basically $25 million a year with some bonuses in there. And I read the report from Rick Stroud in Tampa where it said, you know, Brady didn't ask for control. He didn't ask for, you know, a ton of money, anything like that, which, you know, you're going to say anyway, you know, afterward. But the Bucs got their guy, man. That's who they wanted, and they got him.
Well, so how is Tom Brady and Bruce Arians going to work out? Because if you just do a quick look around at it, you think, okay, this is going to be interesting to see, like, the guy that likes to push the ball down the field and Tom Brady with 2,000-yard receivers and all of those things. But Brady over the last, like, decade has been a dink-and-dunk kind of guy, honestly. Like, he'll hit Gronk on a seam route, and he'll throw an occasional deep ball, but for the most part, he's been known as a death by a thousand paper cuts kind of guy. This is a drastically different offense.
Yeah, it really is, you know, and it's interesting of not only that, but, you know, we might have some postponements of OTAs, things like that this offseason where he might not have a lot of time, you know, on the field with those guys. So he's got to learn a lot of terminology, which he will. He's a consummate professional, but, you know, I'm with you. Like, how quick does, you know, does the offense change to him? Does he change? Does he try to push it down the field more? You know, how does the, you know, short passing game go, you know, with the Bucs? There's going to be a learning curve, you know, and it's be interesting when the schedule comes out, who they have, you know, their first couple of games, if it's, you know, really hard loaded or, you know, not necessarily soft, but, you know, a couple of games to kind of get themselves, you know, back into rhythm.
Well, in this press conference, Tom Brady said, you know, I don't want to talk about the past. So basically said, that's not relevant. It's not important to my future. What's going on in the offseason for me? When do we get the true story, or if ever, do you think, about what happened between him and, as Mickey likes to say, dad and grandpa and Belichick and Kraft and everybody there? When does the true story come out?
You know, probably not for another 20 years on a 30 for 30, if ever. Yeah. You know, give Brady credit on this. And the same way with Belichick, you know, that they don't like to, you know, air laundry out in public. You know, even if things are going, you know, really bad between them, they're both professional and they both respect each other. So I don't think we'll ever hear, you know, anything really out of either of them. And you know what? Time might make it better, you know, away from each other. But I think that Tom really wanted to you know, kind of just enjoyed playing football again. And I think Belichick, you know, he's a hard guy to play for, you know, and I think this is kind of Brady's, you know, last attempt at just it playing ball like a kid again, you know, and enjoying it. And we'll see how that goes.
Alan Bell, our guest from Sportsline. Meanwhile, you mentioned the Patriots and what's left behind there. The reports out of New England, including one from 24/7 yesterday, the Patriots plan to stay inexpensive at quarterback, and they are pretty inexpensive right now with what they got.
Oh yeah, you know, and it makes sense. Like once the once the Colts signed Phillip Rivers, you knew that Brian Hoyer being the three was pretty much going to be gone, and it makes sense to bring him back. And here's the interesting part. Jarrett Stidham from Auburn might be the guy, right? Like, they might love him, yeah, and he might be the future. However, again, going back to this offseason, you know, if they lose some OTAs and they lose, you know, the NFL loses a couple, you know, early training camp practices or something, Brian Hoyer might have to be the starting quarterback just from his experience. And you have to wait and kind of, you know, let Stidham get comfortable because he still hasn't played, you know, in the NFL. So I find that whole thing interesting. The Patriots could be completely different this year. You know, after Gostkowski's gone, you know, obviously Brady being gone, the offense needs a ton of help. I'm interested to see what their schedule likes, you know, looks like, because what happens if the Patriots come out and lose their first two games, lose their first three games, something that just never happens? How fast does that locker room go down? They're going to be the most fascinating team for a completely different reason this year.
Can imagine the folks in Buffalo are kind of chomping at the bit as well. In Miami, you keep hearing they may try to move up and get Tua. You know, the other three teams in that division have been doormats for a long time, Alan. You know, they would like to go on the revenge tour starting this season.
Oh, absolutely they would. I think I saw a stat that, like, Brady, he had like 36 starts career against Buffalo, and he was like 32-4 or something like that. Just completely dominated him, right? So you've got to think that everyone else in the division is fired up. But, I mean, you still have to go up and take it. You know, Belichick's not going to give it away. And you know that guy's going to pull off some three-card Monty magic, you know, this season somehow, some way. So somebody's going to have to take it and step up and do something. But I'll tell you this, Buffalo's going to be pretty darn good. They're a good team.
So let's go ahead and ask you the question. When we look at the season in its totality, assuming there is one, at the end of the season, who had the better record, Tampa or New England?
I'm going to go with Tampa. I think that they're a better team. I think that they're, you got a good coach in Bruce Arians. You've obviously got a better quarterback situation. And I think the Patriots, while they have still a great defense that they had from last year, their offense is just going to be hurting. I don't care, you know, what you do and who the coach is. You know, that's going to be a big adjustment at quarterback. They still don't have weapons that they had last year. It's the same, you know, style offense.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Tampa on this one. It's going to be close, but I'm going to go with Tampa.
Welcome back in 3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. We're joined on the Skype feed by Mark Howard, who has muted himself and turned off his video, but he's hanging out with us. I guess he just wanted to see what Alan Bell is up to.
AB said, wow, is this how this works? Just random zone people just pop up on your screen?
Apparently.
I love it. Yeah, everybody can just join in.
That's sure. So amazing. And Mark was like, at one point he said, I think I joined the afternoon show.
Yes,
which,
you did.
Don't call us that, Mark. We're 3HL.
He's still on it.
There he is. He joins us again. He's still on with us. Well, let's just continue with Mark and Alan. And if Mark wants to ask a question, he's welcome to jump in. Alan Bell from Sportsline, our guest. We were talking about Tampa and where they fit into the postseason equation or win totals, Alan. Their win total up to 9 now, according to at least one book that I've seen. That's up from 7.5 last month. That's up from 6.5. When these lines originally dropped, where does Sportsline have the win total currently for Tom Brady's Buccaneers?
Yeah, right around there, you know. And think about this. A jump from 6.5 wins to 9, it might not sound big. It's huge. Like, that's huge. Like, it goes to show you what a guy like Tom Brady can do, you know. We'll see if they live up to it, because obviously you've got to do it, you know, on the field. But just to have those jumps. Think about if you were somebody who was ahead of this and you bet an over of 6.5. You're sitting pretty right now, you know? That's a big, large jump for Tampa.
No doubt. Let's talk about the Titans and their division. The Titans, I've seen their win total up to 9 from 8.5. That was from Bet Online. Colts and Texans both at 8, Jags at 5.5. How does Sportsline see the AFC South right now?
Yeah, Sportsline's in love with the Titans this year. And I'll tell you this. So yeah, so the
Sportsline, like, can just marry the Titans then.
So the number got moved to 9, you know, the over under. Sportsline is projecting the Titans to have 9.3 wins this year. So, you know, roughly that 9 to 10, obviously. We've got the Titans as the 5th best team in the AFC, the 9th best team in the NFL, 62% chance to make the playoffs, which is a very, very large number, 45% chance to win the AFC South, the 4th best team to win the AFC championship, and the 8th best team to win the Super Bowl. So I know that I threw a lot of numbers at you, but I'm telling you, everything that we've projected so far is very heavily pro Tennessee Titans.
Is that a little weird to you, though, given that they've made one move in free agency and they've lost Jack Conklin? And I think that's a little weird movement there.
Yeah, it is, you know, but I think this is going to be a year where, consistency returning is going to play a major factor. Yeah. And I think that, it goes to show that also, the Tennessee Titans were a really good football team last year and they didn't really need to make a lot of changes. And even though you lose, a Jack Conklin, and we'll see, what happens with Logan Ryan. But I think it just goes to show just how good, Tennessee really is and how talented they are on both sides of the ball. And this should be a team that absolutely, competes to get back to where they were last year.
I think that's a big point. And I think as we get farther along in this and as the NFL offseason shrinks, Alan, I think that's a huge advantage for the Titans to have that consistency on offense, because basically you're losing no one, right? I mean, you lost Jack Conklin at right tackle, but Dennis Kelly's played a lot of snaps for this football team. And in terms of skill position players, you've got everybody back. I think that's a distinct advantage under the current situation.
It's huge.
Same OC too.
Yeah, exactly. It's huge. You know, and like you said, they're essentially returning 11 starters on offense. And think about how it's going to go with all these other teams, with the Colts, with a new quarterback, Phillip Rivers trying to get work in, with players that he can't meet with. So they're trying to do it over Skype or over, anything else. It's going to be tough. So a team that's returning that much talent that all knows each other and is young and getting better, it's going to play a huge factor into this season, especially at the start, which is exactly what, the Titans could really use. Get out to, a 3-1, 4-1, 5-2, and you give yourself a great shot down the stretch.
A lot of talk, obviously, about the offensive consistency. That's going to be a different story on the defensive side of the ball. If Clowney happens, obviously, there was the leaked EA Sports Madden video that, Clowney's in the Titans uniform. How does that affect what this defense looks like or numbers?
Yeah, I mean, losing, just the trade of Jarrell Casey, obviously, is big. But what I go back to is this. Is that, while it came out of nowhere, there's a reason why they did it and they felt comfortable doing it. And especially with Mike Vrabel being a defensive guy, and this, really could be, he could be the defensive coordinator for all we know, for this year. So for him doing that, that goes to show that he has faith in what they're doing and who they have. The Vic Beasley signing, we'll see how that goes. And like you said, Jadeveon, that would be a huge addition, obviously, to the team. It would cost them, large as well. But it just goes to show, I think that Vrabel and John Robinson feel very, very comfortable with where this team is. And if they had any, reserve about trading Jarrell Casey, they wouldn't have done it. So the fact that they did it, just goes to show that they have confidence in what they're doing.
I think you said, AB, that was the most Patriots move yet by them. Wasn't it you who said that?
No. Yeah, I mean, it is. Yeah, I mean, you just didn't expect it at all. But, yeah, for them to get out kind of a year early, and whether or not they get Jadeveon Clowney or not, they set themselves up for a good spot.
I know we already talked about that, but that made me think, what if Belichick goes like 13-3 and just beats everybody's ass with Jarrett Stidham and just says, F you, NFL?
It would be incredible. And I think, at that point, like if he were to win a Super Bowl, in the next 2 years, This sounds crazy. You might have to think about renaming the Lombardi Trophy. Like, it would be his greatest feat that he's ever done, and he's done some amazing things. You know what I mean?
That we're on the Cincinnati Trophy.
Yeah.
Hey, this is out there. Alan Bell again hanging out with us from Sportsline. Deshaun Watson quoted some Drake lyrics that were basically, so great. If you just took them in context, you're like, hey, man, I don't think this guy really likes his situation. I don't know how I'm going to make it out of here clean. Can't even keep track of who's playing for the other team. Iconic duos rip and split at the seams. I think a lot of people were like, wait, now this is a quarterback that just lost arguably the best receiver of the NFL, right? So then somebody quote tweets it, sends it back to him with a picture of Bill Belichick, and he liked that. So, and then there are places that have odds on where he might be, and a lot of people have him as the next Patriots quarterback after this year.
That first off, that would be incredible. And second, I love that players have social media so that we get to talk about things like this. Yes. I mean, the timing of that is not coincidental. Or it is, like, that meant something. You know what I mean? Like, you don't just put that out there out of nowhere, you know? And for him losing, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, that was his guy. And, you know, you have to wonder, you know, not that, you know, he's going to go anywhere this year, but, I mean, the future of the Texans, like, if Deshaun wants out, you know, when, you know, his time is up, you know, you just have to wonder where this locker room is. And, you know, was this kind of one of those trades to where everyone loved, you know, DeAndre, and it just kind of blows these things up because, you know, when you have one guy who essentially runs the entire show, you either better be Bill Belichick and go to 9 Super Bowls, or yep. You better have, you know, get a joke book and be pretty funny and nice to people because it can turn on you quick.
Get a joke book.
Yeah.
I don't know if B.O.B.'s got jokes, man. He's got trades, though, but he doesn't have first-round draft picks.
Here's the thing, though, and you guys alluded to this. Texans get rid of DeAndre Hopkins. They bring in Randall Cobb and give him $18 million guaranteed. What in the world are they doing? They also trade for David Johnson. They could have had Todd Gurley for half the price. What is going on there?
Half the price. And think about this. This is how bad that deal already is. On last Friday, $2.1 million was guaranteed for 2021 on David Johnson. Like, they're already in guaranteed money for next season as well. He's traded for 3 running backs in the last 8 months. Like, it's just crazy. But, you know, what we talked about last week, and let me say it, for all the craziness, and he did it last year too, the Texans win games. Like, they're always, you know, in the hunt for the division.
So they've won it 4 of the last 5 years, AB. The Titans won it twice ever.
Yeah, I mean, the guy wins games, you know what I mean? But it could be one move. This could have been one move too many. You know, we'll see. You know, we'll see.
But I was going to say, surely it's going to catch up to him. It's going to catch up to him at this point, right?
You would think so. It's a lot of people have tried the Bill Belichick method, and a lot of people have gone back and gotten fired for it. Like, it's tough to do.
HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. One more segment with Alan Bell from Sportsline, who joins us these same 3 segments every week. You can always catch AB on Tuesdays, 4:15 to 5 o'clock. One of the most fun things that I had spent time perusing earlier today, AB, is some of those draft spot over-unders, because they're so – everybody's got film, and a lot of guys went to the combine, but – I mean, for some of those guys down the line, we have no idea where they're going to get drafted, just because guys who didn't go to the combine or weren't able to run, do different things. But there's a bunch of potential first-round picks, and the numbers are just all over the place. But when you're the Titans and you're drafting this late, it's especially interesting to think, will any of these guys actually make it to 29?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. And I'll say this, you know, what we're talking about in terms of NFL teams and the unknown this offseason, the draft is going to be the exact same way. Like, there are going to be teams who only, you know, not that they only know, but they've done most of their homework the last 2 years on big name guys from big name schools. So if you have teams that have, you know, scouted these kind of diamonds in the rough, you know, from other schools, you're going to be set up very, very nicely in the draft. Plus, you know, it's a very quarterback-driven draft as well, but we've seen so many quarterbacks sign in free agency that it's going to cut the numbers down and do quarterbacks fall, you know, to numbers that we didn't think so later in the draft or in the second round. This draft is going to be phenomenal.
There's video of Tua. There's one, you know, segment of him taking the ball, dropping back, throwing. We've all examined it over and over. Where would you set draft position for him right now? Is he going to get past three, or is there going to be some kind of trade or something?
I think there's going to be a trade, and I don't think he gets past three. Like, I think exactly where that is. Yeah. Yep. And, you know, and first off, was that video, was that at David Lipscomb? I know he's been in Nashville with Trent Dilfer, right?
It looked like Lipscomb Academy to me.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Dilfer tweeted it, talking about working with him too. So, yeah.
He has been working with him all summer.
He looked, I mean, that video, I mean, he looks great. You know, he's moving on his feet very well. You could tell when he threw the ball, he threw hard. He wasn't afraid to use his feet, his ankle, pivot off of it. You know what I mean? He looks good. And I'm with you. Like, I don't think he gets past three. I think there's a trade, you know, up for him. And you know, now we talk about the teams that could be in for a quarterback. So I think there might only be four. If we're looking at the Bengals, the Dolphins, the Chargers, and then, you know, kind of a mystery team. CBS Sports put out a mock draft today where the Jaguars trade up and take Tua at three. Yeah.
Ooh.
So, you know, I think it's going to be 3 to 4 teams in the first round that go for a quarterback. And who makes that move? The Dolphins obviously have the most draft capital, you know, to work with. But we'll see.
I think if the Lions are smart, they get it out there that they could take Tua. I also think they could take Tua. So I think that's why it doesn't get past three. Could get up to two, though, if you trade, if Washington makes you think that they could do it, even though they just traded for a quarterback, that could happen too. So yeah, I don't see a scenario where he gets past three. And then if the Lions trade back to say five, they still get Isaiah Simmons, who I think they really covet, as a linebacker. And maybe that's how it all plays out. Where would Tua be had he not gotten hurt against Mississippi State?
AB. I think would he be
the first guy, or would Joe Burrow still be the first guy?
Well, you know what it'd be? It would be one of the best discussions that we've had. And I think it would go back to, you know, think about any year where we've, you know, had two big name guys.
Mariota and Winston. Yeah,
exactly. Like, I mean, seriously, you know, and it would have been something like that, because Tua, you know, like, you know, Brent, you were alluding to, you know, earlier that, you know, have we forgotten how magical this guy was, how good and talented Tua really was, you know? And Joe Burrow obviously had just the most amazing season that we've ever seen, but Tua put up some unbelievable numbers, you know? So I'm with you on there. And you know, you look at who's got number two, Washington in the draft.
Yeah.
You know, we heard Ron Rivera already putting it out a couple weeks ago that they might not be happy with Dwayne Haskins. That might be a smoke screen. Right, to get a team to trade up to number two, that to convince teams that, hey, they might get a quarterback. You know what I mean? So who knows? But it's gonna be fun. But yeah, if Tua never got hurt, we would have a heck of an argument for the number one overall pick.
And ultimately, if you're Washington, you could draft him if you want to. I mean,
yeah,
you won't have Chase Young, but if you really think he's the guy, you're a new administration. You can say we didn't have anything to do with that last guy. You know, I mean,
yeah,
it's fascinating to see what happens.
Look at Arizona, you know, they did it last year. You know, they got rid of Josh Rosen. If there's ever a time where you're going to, you know, move on a quarterback, you do it while, you know, you got two of them essentially on, you know, rookie wage scales. So, yeah, I'm totally with you on that.
Where do you think we are with Carolina? So Cam Newton becomes a free agent, was released officially today. So they go with Teddy Bridgewater. That division is absolutely loaded when you talk about offense. And if you look at the Atlanta offense, we went through it earlier. With the additions that they've made, just unbelievable. Tampa with 2,000-yard receivers and now the GOAT. New Orleans adds Emmanuel Sanders to already maybe the most explosive offense in the NFL. And I think Bridgewater's a good fit in Carolina.
Yeah, I do too. And you look at what, you know, what Carolina's done. I think they just went and got Robbie Anderson, wide receiver. They've done what they could, you know, with that offense. Now, you know, Carolina has some work to do, you know, just building that defense back up, you know, to what it is. However, here's the wild card, is that you've got a new coach in Matt Rhule and you've got Joe Brady. So who would have thought LSU was going to be as good as they were last year? And I'm not saying that was all Joe Brady, but my gosh, the guy was good. And you've got, you know, Teddy Bridgewater at quarterback and arguably the best running back in the NFL, you know, in terms of an athletic pass catching type running back, you know, who can kind of do both sides. We don't know, but it's going to be tough, like you said, because the NFC South is just absolutely loaded.
AB, Alan Bell, our guest, you know who may be getting hurt the most? I mean, I know supposedly we're waiting on Clowney to get his physical, and the NFL doctors have said we're not doing any more right now. We're going to focus on bigger concerns. Maybe that's why we haven't heard of any more signings. Cam Newton, because that guy's coming off a Lisfranc injury. I mean, if I'm the Chargers and I'm not going to draft somebody, you're not going to open a new stadium with your current quarterback situation. You would have to think they'd be thinking about kicking the tires on a guy like Cam if they're not going to draft one of these guys. But you can't even look at him. You have no idea what kind of shape he's in.
Yeah, and that's the hard part, is that, you know, Cam Newton right now on the open market would be getting phenomenal looks, but no one knows about his health, and that's really the most difficult part. But you're right. For a team like Los Angeles that's kind of playing second fiddle out there, you know, he moves the needle. He sells tickets. You know, he's a guy, and if he's healthy, obviously we saw what he can do. You know, him and a guy like Jameis. Now, here's the interesting part, is that you've got, you know, say the Chargers, Dolphins, teams like that that are looking for quarterbacks. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers get involved with one of these guys for a backup quarterback just to have a little insurance, because we saw what they did last year. That team almost made the playoffs with legitimately no quarterback at all. So I wouldn't be surprised if they get involved for kind of a cheap price. You know, say if Cam goes to the Chargers, they might look at Jameis, you know, as the number two if his contract, you know, if he doesn't demand too much.
Yeah, it's funny. I think when he came out, maybe one of the people he was physically comped to was Ben Roethlisberger talking about Jameis.
Yeah. I mean, they're both big body guys, you know, and both, you know, unafraid to throw the ball down the field. Mike Tomlin would absolutely lose his mind with 30 interceptions for sure. But I think after what he saw last year and starting a guy named Duck, you know, he might work with Jameis a little bit. I don't know. I find it fascinating, though. Like, the Steelers need a QB, too. He can be an interesting option.
By the way, what in the actual hell is going on with Ben Roethlisberger and that beard? Holy crap. What in the world?
Quarantine.
He looks like West Virginia's mascot. You know what I mean? Like the live Mountaineer guy. It's wild. I think this injury, in a weird way, like, I think it kind of relaxed Ben. Like, every, you know, kind of video and things that we've seen, he's out having fun. He used to not really kind of do that. He got real serious there, you know, in the middle of his career. And it seems like he's just kind of enjoying himself.
He's just hanging out in Montana, fly fishing and smoking weed. I mean, I don't know.
He looks old.
He's doing something. He does.
AB, good stuff, man. At Alan Bell 247, if people want to follow AB, one of the most informative Twitter feeds in the game, man. It never stops with the good information. Thanks, brother. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Alan Bell. All right, here's what's going on. We come back. Nick Saban has now joined the ranks of other coaches making stay safe videos. We will play this for you. It's just as good as you think it is. All that and more coming up. And about 15 minutes away from Joey Kent, who's going to join us. Tell us some Peyton Manning and Vol football stories on Mr. Manning's birthday. That's coming up in the 5 o'clock hour of 3HL. She was the first.